Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather together in your name, my Lord. Father, we thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, piercing between bone and marrow, my Lord. Father, that you can set us free, my Lord. Father, as I bring the word tonight, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will anoint my lips, that whatever I speak will come from you. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Lord's been speaking to us over the last few weeks as we've been fasting. And he said to us, get rid of stuff in your life. Get rid of television. Get rid of internet, cell phones, Facebook. And then he also spoke to us and he said, prune. Lay in the pruning shears in your life. Prune that which does not bear fruit. And then this morning, Pastor Shirley said, there's things that hold us back because of sin that we did. And Satan will bring those memories. Although God has thrown those sins into the lake of forgetfulness, Satan helps us to fish them out. And we remember them. And that's what's been holding us back. Tonight, the main verse of this sermon that I'm bringing to you is Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. As you think in your heart, that kind of person you are. What thoughts are there in your hearts? What kind of thoughts keeps on creeping back into your mind? All right, tonight we're going to look at thoughts and that which holds us back. Now, before I go any further, we have to explain it through the new birth. We are created in God's image and we are created in God's likeness. I've always had a problem with the creation in God's image, because when you read Revelation, you find out that God is light. There's no need for sun in heaven. He shines and he fills the whole heaven from the light that flows and shines out of him. And if you look at me, there's no light shining out of me. But Jesus is 100% God. And Jesus looks like me. So I am created in God's image. And I'm created in God's likeness. Because I'm body, soul, and spirit. As God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I am created in God's likeness and image. What happens when God gets you born again? God gets you born again, and he gets, if you look at me, if I stand behind the pulpit, it's my soul, it's my mind. If I stand this side of the pulpit, it's the spirit. And if I stand this side of the pulpit, it's my body. So although you see me one person, I'm going to move to demonstrate to you that I am actually three. All right. So when God gets you born again, he gets your spirit born again. Your spirit is born again immediately. And when your spirit is born again, he makes you a new creation. That's where that verse comes in. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God gets your spirit born again immediately. Yes, if God has an encounter with you, your mind also gets changed. But it is your responsibility to get your mind in line with your spirit that is born again. I've heard of people that cursed. And once they are born again, they stop cursing immediately because they had that encounter with God. I've heard of people that's body is addicted to alcohol, to cigarettes, to drugs, once they are born again, they are immediately freed. Yes, an encounter with God will not leave you the same way. All right. But the scripture says in Philippians 4 verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Bible instructs us not to have bad thoughts. The Bible instructs us not to have negative thoughts. Meditate on the good, the Bible says. Romans 12 verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God tells us, renew your mind daily. Don't let Satan hold you back with the thoughts that keeps you captive. Bring your thought line in line with your spirit and the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Bring your thought line in line with them. All right. The body needs to be brought in line also with your spirit. And that's why the Bible says to us, Luke 19 verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross daily and follow me. We have to crucify the flesh, because this flesh wants to sin. It's like we haven't received our glorified bodies. Once we've received our glorified bodies, we will no longer desire to sin. But this flesh desires to sin still. And we need to crucify it. Bring it in line with our born-again spirit. Amen. What kinds of thoughts keeps us back? What are those thoughts that keeps us back? Negative thoughts. Negative thoughts about this country. Oh, this country is going nowhere. Oh, it's going down the tubes. There's no hope for South Africa. Let's immigrate. Go to Australia. Go to New Zealand. Negative thoughts. Let me tell you, you can be in the worst country. If you are in God's will, you are in the safest place that you can be. You can be in the safest country, out of God's will, and things will happen to you. Make sure that you are in God's will. Politicians. Ah, the politicians. All they care about is lining their own pockets. Have you heard those things? Negative thoughts. Some people are so negative, you can't speak to them. They bring you down. What does the Bible say? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can change that and says, do not be unequally yoked together with negative people, because they will bring you down. That's the law of physics. A group will draw in one. All right. So don't be negative. Local government, Mogale City. Oh, they're so useless. They can't deliver. Don't speak. What must we do? We must pray for our politicians. We must pray for our... Be positive. Prayer will answer the problems. Being negative will change nothing. Will only change you, because Satan has got you in a grip, in a hold. All right. Break-ins. Oh, if somebody breaks into your house and they steal, who hasn't had that experience? We've all had it. You become so negative. You become so bitter. You become so unforgiving. If I can only get that person, I will wring his neck. All right, let me give you a testimony. We still had the business. Erica phoned me. I was building up in Fulune Street. Erica phoned me and said, come quickly, we need to go to the bank. I came down with my bucky, that white Toyota bucky of mine. parked it in front of the business, locked it, put the gorilla lock onto the steering wheel, went in and said to her, all right, I'm ready, let's go. Within 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we came out, Bucky's gone. Stolen. Immediately I checked my keys. Did I lock the Bucky? Yes, I did lock the Bucky. Oh, and then those thoughts comes up in your mind. Oh, if I can only get hold of that guy. We drove up with the changed cars, climbed into the combi, drove up to Key West. As we walked in from the parking area to the bank into Key West, I said to myself, that Bucky is gone. You'll never see it again. And I said, God, forgive me for being so negative. I give that Bucky to him. I'm never going to see the Bucky. If I'm negative, or it's not going to change. I'm giving that Bucky to him, to the guy who ever took it. Went into the bank, draw the money, took half an hour, three quarters of an hour. We walked out of the bank, same parking area. Erika's phone rings. It's a colonel from Soweto, gives his name. I'm in charge of Soweto police. That Bucky, is it yours? I said, yes, it's been stolen. I said, it's in Protea Glen at such and such a petrol station. Go there. Don't allow them to book that thing into the 13th store of the SAP. Take it home with you, because if it's in the SAP 13th store, they're going to strip it. Colonel from Soweto gave me back my Bucky. What happened is they stole it. They drove to that petrol station. Sitting outside the Bucky, they're waiting now to see if there's a tracker system on that Bucky. If a tracker stops there, they just walk away. An off-guard policeman, it's off-duty, stopped there to fill up his car. Somebody told him, go to that Bucky. He walked to that Bucky, walked around the Bucky. He saw the steering wheel being cut to get the gorilla off. He asked the guy, is it your Bucky? The guy thought he wanted to buy the Bucky. He said, yes, do you want to buy it? And he arrested them. All right. Shows you negative thoughts helps you nothing. Positive thoughts, prayer helps. Murders, rape, we read of it in the newspaper. We so eagerly to open the Sunday Lyer, I mean the Sunday Times, to read about the negative things. Only makes you negative, that's all. Only helps Satan to place those fiery darts into your mind. Helps you nothing. Be positive. Think of the positive things. Workplace, your boss. Oh, you do not know what kind of a boss do I work for. I have to do three guys' work. They misuse me. They treat me miserable. What does the Word of God says? Bless those who spitefully use you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it to the best of your ability, as unto God. Who's your boss? Not the guy who pays your salary. Your boss is God. And unfortunately, the principle of working is in the Bible. We have to work. It's because of our sin that we have to work hard, not slack. Because you work for God, not for your boss. I can give you a testimony there. They've misused me since I've been an appy. When I was an appy, they sent me to do my boss's job. I didn't know it. I found out later on. When I came here, and they wanted to keep me at training. They said, stay at training. You'll get your promotion with your first time that you come up for promotion. You'll get promotion. I said, no, sorry, I don't want to. They sent me out to Krugersdorp, where I worked. I worked hard. My production was tested every day. It was 30, 40, 50% higher than the other guy's production. Constantly. Constantly. Twice I proved my boss wrong, that I know more than him. with my first promotion. I was 24 years old. I got promoted because I worked to the best of my ability. 24 year old, you are the boss of a 50, 55 year old man. It's not easy. It's not easy. But I did not have any problem because they knew that I knew more than they, and they knew that I could do the job better than they did. Work to the best of your ability. Don't moan. Don't be negative. Money. Poverty. Oh, I'm in poverty. I've got no money. Don't be negative. Do what God asks you to do, and God will give you a way out. Be obedient to His word. Children, family. Oh, we can be so negative about family and children. Religion. We can be negative, and our thoughts of religion can be that, oh, I'm all right. I go to church every month, at least in the morning. So they know at least my face. I'm all right. If I confess Jesus, it's all right. I don't need to have a relationship. I've got news for you. Even Satan and the demons confess Jesus, and it doesn't help them. Even Satan believes, and it doesn't help him. We need to have a positive relationship with Jesus Christ. Hatred. So easily hatred can come up. Hatred in divorces, bitterness in divorces, unforgiving when you've got a divorce, if the family hurt you, all those things. We know that many, many preachers have preached and said that bitterness, hatred, unforgiveness can even cause your physical body to become sick. It's a blockage. Satan holds you back. Don't allow Satan to hold you back. Get your mind free. Bible says, a man that whose mind is free, is free. He's got no hold over him. But the mind is the battleground. That's where Satan attacks you. That's where the fiery darts comes in. Acts 8 verse 22 to 23. Repent from your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thoughts of your hearts may be forgiven you. For see that you are positioned by bitterness and bound by iniquities. Pray God that the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you. How do we get our negative and our bad thoughts away? How do we stop those thoughts coming into you? It starts with you. You must take the first step. God always requires the first step from us. If you look at the new birth, you are not just born again. You have to make that decision, and you have to take the first step to become born again. If you look at the woman with the little bit of flour and the oil, she had to make the first cake and give it to Elisha, and then she lived on it for the rest of the drought. If you look at the woman at the well, Jesus asked her, give me a drink. First Jesus a drink, and then Jesus would give her rivers of living waters. So the solution starts with you. You have to decide and say, and draw a line in the sand and says, Satan, to this line and no further. I am no longer bound by these thoughts that keeps me captive. If you make that decision, and then you pray, and God will give you a way out. God will set you free. But you can't leave everything to God and say, God, take away these thoughts. and tomorrow you think them again. You have to take the first step. And if you take the first step, I guarantee you, God will help you to get rid of those thoughts that keeps you in bondage. I lost my place, sorry. John, let's turn quickly in our Bibles to John. Let me just put my glasses on. John chapter 6, verse 51 says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. If you eat of the living bread, you've got life forever, everlasting life. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of this world. And there's in verse 55, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. This is the scripture that Jesus taught his followers. And in one message, he lost all of his followers because of this scripture. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. When do we drink our blood, Jesus' blood? When we get born again, and when we ask for forgiveness for our sins. Once you are born again, and every time that you ask for forgiveness, wash me by your blood, Jesus Christ. You drink the blood of Jesus. And then we eat his flesh. We eat his flesh by reading the Word of God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus' flesh is his Word. We eat his Word. We take it in. It comes into our stomachs. It gets mixed up with the digestive fluids. It gets broken down into small pieces. It goes into our intestines. Every mineral, every vitamin, everything that our body needs gets taken out of it. And that's how we need to read the Word of God. If you read the Word of God like a storybook, helps you nothing, profits you nothing. If you read the Word of God, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to take out of this Word. Show me. And you digest it. You break it down into small pieces. And once it's broken down and your intestines takes it up, it goes into your blood. The life is in the blood. And it goes to your eyes. It goes to your hands. It goes to your feet. It goes to your mind. It goes to your ears. Goes to your mouth, it feeds and it restores every broken or cut or healed place that needs healing in your body. So it also goes to your spirit. It heals and it restores and it feeds every area of your body that needs feeding. That's why God, Jesus says, if you've got the Word of God and you break it down like that and you eat it, and it gets digested. You become one with me. Amen. And that's how you renew your mind. That's how you get victory over your mind. By reading and praying the hourly, minutely, constantly. Amen. Amen. Amen.